9 days. You guys, the beginning of the story so far is regarding eating meat. I said to somebody about a minhag, he said, no, it's actually halakhas. Yes, it is a halakha, but there are different types of halakha regarding the meat. And we've got Piskei Teshuvah, which we were discussing about the shops. At one point, the knives, the shechtim weren't shechting, and the shops were closed, but then there was a fear that people would buy trefus and nevelus. And therefore, we're talking about a time when there weren't fridges and freezers and one can keep things fresh. That was a particular problem. So that was discussed. It was also discussed about having a malava mark. If you had a regular malava marker and you had meat left over, and you would normally, what would you do? Would you have the shurayim left over, even though it's going into the 9 days? But there was also the question of wastage, because it could otherwise be thrown away because they didn't have ways of preserving it. And then there was another question about, now we're going to the 9 days, what would happen? Can you have meat for it on a Suddas Mitzvah? What would the Suddas Mitzvah, as quoted in Piskei Teshuvah, it would be for a Bris Milah, it would be for a Pidyon HaBen, and it also be for a Bar Mitzvah, Bo Bayom, on that day. Interestingly, he mentions the Vachnah. Vachnacht is, particularly in America, it's become quite popular, the night before the bris, that people make a big event in America, but this would not count as Suddas Mitzvah, and if it was a Suddas Mitzvah, it could have Bosa Vayayin, meat and wine. So let's carry on from there, and some three ideas that I wanted to put over from personal experience. I always like to say things, not things which have been quoted in Ami Mishpacha or Hamodia, even in Art Scroll. I'm going to tell us episodes, Maaseh Shehoya, not only is it Maaseh Shehoya, but it actually happened as well.
That's why we're here.
Yeah, right. So I have a friend. Mr. Walensky was sitting shiva recently, and he told me, fascinating, when he was sitting shiva, that his mother, born 1926 in Iran, how they lived there. It was very, very difficult, very schwach, very bitter. But I've got a friend, he lives around here, about the same age, his name is Steve Hadjioff. Steve and his family were in Iran, and he told me, in Iran, every Jewish family had a dog. It's a funny story. They had a dog. Had a dog. Why did they have a dog? Because they didn't want to obviously live as Yidden. So what they did was they went to the treif. Well, they bought treif, which they would never eat. But they went and bought treif, and they gave the treif to the dog. And people thought that here they were buying treif, and not knowing they were giving it to the dog. And that's how they lived as Yidden, not overtly as Yidden, but within society. And that's how many of them survived for so long. There was another question which was raised about having a Suddas Mitzvah. And in fact, I remember when my son was in Gateshead, one day, in our family, we never ever had meat during the 9 days. Never. Just didn't. When Dov was in Gateshead, I spoke to him one day. I said, last night we had a big steak, and there was a long silence. I said, I'll give you a clue. It was under rabbinic supervision of Rabbi Schneeberg. And he said, oh, Dad, you didn't fall for that old one again, did you? But it's here. But nonetheless, it is something amongst the Hasidim, they make it. And then the third and the final point now, speakers here, if I may, I'll make one point that, thank you, I make one point that we all know that you cannot discuss Divrei Torah Olam. Yeah? Maaseh Shehoya, I was there, it was Coptal exercise, swimming, Friday at 12 o'clock, and Diane Ehrentreu was there. And people were together in the changing rooms, and there were various, I think there were two Sephardi gentlemen having a discussion together, and one was stilling the other to go and speak to Dayan Erenschrei, and he pushed him with his elbow, and he went up to Dayan Erenschrei in the change room, and he said, coming up for the 9 days, are you allowed to go swimming during the 9 days? To which Dayan Erenschrei replied, if it's for medical reasons, yes, otherwise, no. And with that, I'm going to introduce our speaker for the day. Dayan Kadar. Please.
Interesting. Okay, very good.
Go introduce him.
He did, he introduced me.
I did.
Okay. Good morning, everyone. The title for today is Halachic Inyan. The Halachic Inyan for today is understanding, at least in the thought of Moshe Feinstein, how important context is in terms of halacha. And specifically context of different denominations. What I mean by that is Orthodox, Conservative, and Reform. And specifically in the context of Nisuin of marriage. Okay? So, we're going to see something which is a huge chiddush in Moshe's tshuvas. It's in three different tshuvas. Put them all together. It's in the first one is in Chelik Gimel Siman Yud Ches. The second one is in Chelik Gimel Siman Chaf Hei. And the third one in Chelik Dalet Siman Yud Gimel. So what's the Inyan here? The Inyan is the Shaila itself may not be Negea for, I imagine, for most people in this room or listening. But you should know it is Negea for people who do decide to get married under an Orthodox rabbi. And understanding how important it is that this takes place within an Orthodox setting as opposed to a non-Orthodox setting, and seeing the Chiddush of Moshe in terms of what getting married under a different kind of setting, what that does. Let me explain what I'm talking about. We all know Maisa to get married, woman to a man, you do Maisa Kiddushin. A man has to give something, normally we do kesef nowadays, and generally speaking the minhag has evolved, the Ramon already writes it, to give a tabas, and we give a ring. So a man, Hassan, gives a ring to a kara, and says, Hariat mekudeshesti betabas zoi, and through the Maisa, the act of giving the ring, and through the dibur, speaking and saying, Hariat mekudeshesti, that creates the chalois kiddushin, and now they are married to one another, they are Mekudeshes to one another, she's betrothed to him, and then you go on to the second part of Nisuin. That's the normal way of doing things, that's the correct way of doing things, and that's how it happened in Am Yisrael for thousands of years. Now, the Gemara in Kiddushin already talks about what happens if you don't do it exactly in this way. So let's say he gives her the ring, but instead of saying Hareyat Mekudeshes Li, he says to her, Hareini Ishek, Hareini Balech. It's not saying you the girl, the kala, are betrothed to me. It says to her, I am betrothed to you. I am your husband. I am your chosam. Right, so instead of bringing her into his rishus, he brings himself into her rishus. The Gemara says, he's done nothing at all. Even though he's done the Maisa Kiddushin, he's given the ring, she's accepted it, but an essential part of the Kiddushin is not just the Maisa Nesina, but also the Dibur. Now, Lo Yomar V'Loikum, he's done nothing at all. As opposed to, say, the chassan and kala are there with their parents and they're talking about the wedding call, potentially if they decide to get engaged to one another. They're talking about inyone kiddushin. And then, whilst this is happening, he gets up, the chassan gets up, and he goes to the kala and gives her a ring without saying anything. And she accepts, she stretches out her finger, she accepts, without any dibur, no one said anything. Does that work? Yes. The Gemara says, it's a machlokes in the Gemara and Davov, but yeah, we paskin that because they were daber im al niske kiddushin, because they were talking about the yoni kiddushin, and he got up and he gave it to us, so from the setting, we can be megale his das and her das, they did this the tzorich kiddushin, and therefore he and she are the mekudeshes. She's mekudeshes. But if he gave and he said Harini Ishek, it's worse. It's worse. You see, so you can see in reading the Gemara a situation where you have two scenarios very similar. In one case, you do more, seemingly you do more, I speak, I do something, and yet it's worse. If I said nothing, if I was just Madabar Bein Yoni Kiddushin and I gave it to her.
Context matters.
The context matters. Exactly. So this is the point. The context matters. So if there was a context of Kiddushin and I said nothing, that works, the full Kiddushin. But if I said something wrong, i.e. I said Harini Ishek, what's wrong there in Ishek? Because the Gemara says, the Torah says, Ki kak ishisha, ki, you have to, he has to take her. Not he takes himself into her or she takes him. The essence of Kiddushin, the essence of marriage, like many things in life, is that the man has to initiate the process, he has to bring her. And therefore, if he said Harini Ishek, that doesn't work, that's bottle. So just to digress very briefly, a thought, this is Rabbi Tatz's idea, is that, generally speaking, in Torah, we find that the man initiates and the woman develops. The man is the initiator, it's always the beginning of a process, and it's the woman who takes it and then develops it and makes it into something real. Many examples for this. The best example is the creation of a child. It's a man who initiates and the woman over 9 months develops it, and so on. The famous pasuk, Shema b'ni Musar avicha v'al titesh taras imecha. Shlomo HaMelech says, listen to the Musar of your father and don't forsake the Torah of your mother. Who's the one who teaches Torah? Who's got the chiv to learn Torah and to teach Torah? V'shinantam lecho divartavom is going on the father. The father's got the chiv to teach Torah. And yet Shlomo HaMelech says, v'al titesh taras imecha. Don't forsake the Torah of your mother. Why is he talking about the Torah of your mother? Because yes, it's the father who's got the chiyuv to learn Torah and to teach Torah at home. But who actually creates the Torah environment? Who develops that and makes it into the setting of the Torah at home? That's the mother. Al titesh taras imecha is because it's the woman who develops and takes things and makes it into something. This is why also he says, I don't know if he says this, is that the names of Hashem, many names for Hashem, some names of Hashem are masculine, some names of Hashem are Hashem Nekev, are feminine. Right? The names of Hashem which are masculine always, almost always start with an Aleph, or with a, written with Yud, but it's pronounced with an Aleph. It's Elekev, Kel, Yud Kev, Of Kev, when you pronounce it, it's with an Aleph. That's all the beginning, Aleph. Whereas the names of Hashem which talk about setting, about Hashem being manifested in this world, Kivyachal, as a, yeah? Or with the top of the Shin, Shekhinah, the end of the Aleph base, Shekhinah, Shabbos, Shalom, Shakai, all the names of Hashem, the feminine, these are all feminine names of Hashem. Because that's things actually manifested. Right, you see? Anyway, the point is that the man has to be the one who initiates the process. He has to be the one who brings her into his Rishus, as opposed to him bringing himself into Rishus. That's the wrong way and that doesn't work. Okay, so far so good. This is all Dina de Gemara and Shulchan Aruch clear. This is straightforward. There's no debate about this. He has to bring her in. And sometimes, if you say something, you can actually make it worse because the context matters. Okay. So, the Tshuva from Moshe, the first one, in Chele Gimel Simen Yudches, was with regards to the following scenario. The Rav asked the Moshe Feinstein, about he had to do a chuppah v'kiddushin, and in the chuppah v'kiddushin, the kala wanted to give a ring back to him. So we do a full Maase Kiddushin. He gives her a ring, and he says to her, "Arayat Mekudesh Sibita Ba'azoi." All good. And then when he finishes and she accepts the ring, she gives the ring back. Maybe doesn't say anything. The different ring, not the same ring. Gives her own ring to him. As a, you gave me a ring, I want to give you a ring. Right? So she gives him a ring and says to him, maybe says to him, you know, you're betrothed to me, something along those lines. He doesn't say anything. The point is, she wants to give a ring back as her present to him. You, the chassan, you gave me a ring, and you were makadosh me with that. I want to now give you a ring back. Is there anything wrong with that?
Very well, that
yeah, anything wrong with that? What do you say?
I mean, what should happen already?
Huh?
Negates the process.
She's...
This should happen already.
This happened already. The chorus, this should happen already. The moment... Huh?
Too fast, Lushan Rishon.
Exactly. Right? So the chora, you would say that the Maase Kiddushin has happened already. He spoke, and he gave her the ring.
Didn't they do the Yichud has or hasn't been yet?
No, Yichud's something else. Yichud's for Nisuin. Remember, there were two parts to her wedding. There's Erusin and there's Nisuin. Everything we're talking about is Kiddushin, Erusin. Yichud is for Inyan Nisuin, it's not for Inyan Kiddushin. So, a woman needs a get after proper Kiddushin. Regardless of whether they do Nisuin or not, whether they do chuppah, whether they do hinuma, whether they do yichud, all different shit as well, what nisuin is. Hinuma, the ayah bedekin, or whether it's chuppah, whether it's shemar brachos, whether it's yichud, all different shit is in Rishayim, we do them all nowadays. But whatever it is, that's nothing to do with the in Maase Kiddushin, which is clear, is kesef shtar biya. And nowadays we do kesef, and not only do we do kesef only, but we do kesef with a ring. So that's it. Then, and from there you need to...
Could associate it with like the halachos of mikveh, that if a person goes into a shower afterwards and they say, "Eilo imayim hataren, eilo hataren."
Very good, excellent.
Maybe also the people who say, "Oh, this ring is a second ring."
What's he saying?
It's the condition of the first one.
Very, very good. Well done.
These are actions that are done as copies. They're not done with any intention. They're just following procedures without getting... doesn't mean anything. It means somebody can copy but not understand. That's over.
Have you seen this true before? No. It's been exactly this. Very good.
Yeah.
Okay. So this is Chedigim on 7 Yitres. Have a look after. Very good. Anyway, so the Chorah, the Pashtus would be to say the conditions happened already. It's fine. But Moshe says no. There are two reasons why this is also to do. If you did it, it would work for the Maase Kiddushin, and she needs a get. Okay, and this is very important. This, to understand the context, an Orthodox Rav is asking Moshe this shaila, and if the answer is don't do it, but if you did it, it happened, whatever it may be, it's fine. The Kiddushin works, and she's fully married. Why don't do it? Two reasons for the Moshe. First reason is. It's a big machlokes. First thing he says is kenzan it's chukas hagoyim, because like the goyim in non-Jewish marriages, you know, I give you a ring, you give me a ring, we exchange rings with each other, chukas hagoyim. Okay, I'm not getting into the whole shaila nowadays of chukas hagoyim. There's two shittes in the shoyim and what chukas hagoyim exactly means. I think that's one thing the Moshe says. The second, as far as Moshe says, is that. True, she's mikudeshes already, but once you start doing this happens, and you go to weddings, and he gives her a ring, says her mikudeshesli, and she gives a ring back, then says the Moshe, nishtak chol teres kiddushin. People will forget what kiddushin is really about. And think, a wedding is a very public event, everyone's there, people there watching, sitting, seeing. And the wedding I go to, I see this, he gives her a ring, she gives him a ring, so people are now going to think, kiddushin happens, how does kiddushin work? Kiddushin works when? He gives her something of money, and she gives him something of money. And people will begin to think that Kiddushin is only affected by the exchange of money to another, the exchange of rings to another, and therefore, Ishtakha Teras Kiddushin. And therefore, he says, it's usur to do this. Don't do this. If you did it, you didn't know, or you were under pressure, whatever maybe, it happened, it's a complete Maase Kiddushin. It's the end of the day. He gave the ring to her. He said, at that moment, she's mekudeshes. What happens afterwards, true. You've got a problem of nishtak l'toras kiddushin These are all fine problems, but lemaise, the conditions happened.
So okay? We follow the words, not the action.
No, we follow the words and the action.
We follow his intention by word.
Well, his intention is, I want to betroth you, I want to marry you, I want to be mekadesh you. And that intention has fulfilled. Yeah. Now she went and did something else after. Now, you shouldn't have done that. But lemaise, it can't take away lichoira, it can't take away from the maisa and the dibur which he did and said, which made the maisa condition. Good. Clear. Straightforward. Yeah, that makes sense. So also to do this, because of the two reasons which he said, chukas hagoyim potentially, or it's going to cause Torah's condition to be forgotten, and therefore don't do this, but if it happened, then the condition works.
But if the chukas hagoyim, if we did it first, and they copied us,
of course not, but in any case, it's no, of course not. But it did happen first. The word, this concept of exchanging means came from the Goyim. And when he gives her it, she gives her it.
When was it first done by Jewish people?
It was the first time this was discussed in the postings, to the best of my knowledge, is 1970s. It's true, it's the 1970s.
But she didn't get.
In which case?
In the case when she gives them back.
Of course, we said it's a full master condition. It's a full master condition. I mean, any condition needs to get. You shouldn't have done it. It's also to do it. But if you did it, it's a full marriage. It's
for
everything. No, you can't take away. You do an Issa or Chukas HaGoyim. I can't take away the master condition.
It would be okay if you did it first.
No, yeah, theoretically, but yeah. It's not that reason, but you got that second reason. It didn't happen first, so I don't know why we're talking about it. The reality is, this shaila was posed in the 1970s, and the goyim were doing it already, and that's it. Anyway, let's focus on the second reason of nishtakel teres kedushin. Okay, so good. Let's put that to the side for 1 second now. You've got 30 minutes. Now, let me ask you a different question. A Jewish man and a Jewish woman got married with a reform minister. They lived together for 5 years. They had children together. They come now to get divorced. They get civilly divorced. Does this... And they're both Jewish, fully Jewish. Right? Not reform Jewish, they're Jewish. Halachically Jewish. They got married under a reform minister. And they now got civilly divorced, and then she finds it. She's about Shiva, I don't know what. She finds a Jewish boy, a foreign boy, and he wants to get married to her. Can he get married to her, or does she first need a get? So, what would you say? Does she need a get?
Sure. Yes. Unless you revoke the first condition, that was no item of shalom, so therefore the first condition was a chal.
The first condition
has to be or make them married.
Okay, so that's 1 point. We'll come to the good. That's 1 point. Second point. What did you say? You said
that the ideas of the reformed rabbi is kulish, it's nothing. So in my mind, it could be that there's a condition without ideas.
No, there can't be a condition without ideas.
Oh, so therefore it's not a condition. So retrospectively, you could avoid the whole first condition.
There was no marriage. You're saying there's no marriage. That's the pashtus. No, it's not a kiddush. That's the pashtus. The pashtus is that you don't need to get it at all. Because under reform minister would be with reform edim, and of course kedushin without two kosher edim is not kedushin. Right. So the pashtus is you don't need a get, and therefore she can get married to another man, another Jewish man, without a get.
Maybe that
they were two kosher edim. No, it's done. Which two kosher edim would go under to go to be made under a foreign minister officiating
the
friends of the family.
So number one, which says most likely the edim weren't kosher. That's number one. Number two is he says in these weddings they exchange rings. And by exchanging rings, they're not doing a ma'aseh kedushin. Even if you want to say they were kosher. Let's say they were kosher. Let's say there were kosher Eidim, happened to be, like you said, they had distant relatives who were from Eden, and they came, and they were Eidim. But this kind of wedding, what they do is, he gives her a ring, she gives a ring, that's what happens. And therefore, he says, they're megale, they're not doing a ma'aseh kiddushin, they're doing the ma'aseh of exchanging rings, exchanging gifts to one another. Okay? Now, I'll come back to that in a second. And then he goes on to say what you had pointed out, even though Rav Henkin held that civil marriage and living together because they live together, we know there's a bial, although there's no eidim, but we know they've lived together, it's got the same address for a few years, and that's the biggest eidus, lechora. So Henkin held that civil marriage is enough to be matzer chaget. Okay? Henkin held civil marriage is enough to be matzer chaget, because that's... We said the chumra b'choshesh for Henkin, and we try, and that's the practice of what it did in our days, by the way, is that when you have a couple who got married civilly and live together, and now she's wants to get married to someone else, we try to get a get from the first husband. But if the first husband's causing trouble, he's gone away, we can't find him, then we mutter here straight out to go and get married without a get. This is my sin b'chol yom, this happened.
But, says Rav Moshe, in this case,
even the fear of Henkin, you wouldn't need to get. Even according to Rav Henkin, who holds that the living together, the civil marriage, the appearance that we are a couple, that creates the eidus of this couple. Even according to him, you're not going to need to get. Why? He says, because when Rav Henkin held that a couple who get married together, civilly, and live together, that's a ma'aseh kiddushin, that's because they didn't have a religious ceremony. So, then we can say that b'shas them living together, they get married, one civilly married in the town hall, and they go home and live together, there's somewhere there's some kavana for ma'aseh kiddushin sometime during the time they live together, and that makes a ma'aseh kiddushin that we need to get. But, says Rav Moshe, if the couple got married together in a fake religious ceremony, they have all their religious kavanas there, and they think there it's all happening there, we're getting married Jewishly here, and then we go home, and now we start life together, nothing to do with any ma'aseh kiddushin anymore. You see? So it's worse off in a case where you had a chuppah ceremony, a reform, a fake chuppah ceremony, it's worse off than if you didn't do anything. Says the Moshe B'das of Henkin. If you had done nothing, just got civilly married, nothing at all, no Jewish ceremony at all, you got civilly married, you lived together with a Jewish man, Jewish woman, for a few years, we would be choshesh lechatzchila for Rav Henkin that you need to have a get. Why? Because perhaps one time during the time they lived together, he did the ma'aseh bi'ah and he had kavana. This shows I'm marrying this woman. This is my partner for life. But if you did a ceremony, a religious ceremony, then that shows at that point you're doing all your religion there. And the rest of the time we live together, we're just living together as a man and wife do. Nothing to do with religion, nothing to do with Torah. So therefore, you leave all of your kavana there in the chuppah, in the reform chuppah, and therefore you don't need to get. Morally, okay? No, that's just at the side point, yes.
I just want to ask, from the first Tekidah, there is a Havah bin, the living together creates and shafts a certain unity of tradition. Umstadt ein und dem äußeren Bruce, wie es ist. On the basis of that, the part of the peer would be almanas to be able to create a sort of bond. If he was living with her for 4 years, 2 years before he finally decided to get married to her, the chassima says, oh, it's a real useful business. Reminder, there's no...
Okay, good. Well, what happens if they live together without, they got civilly married and they never lived together before?
If you didn't, it's usually follows on the marriage.
No, yeah, in a family. In a family, good point.
People get married every form, they do think they're getting a religious marriage.
Precisely, that's my point. That's the point. So you think you're doing all your religion there in the chuppah. And then, therefore... Anyway, but coming back to the point before. The second point of Moshe said is... So he said, three Israelis that you don't need to get. If you got married under a form, a Jewish man, Jewish woman, you don't need to get. Number one, no, it's like Eidim not kosher. Okay, let's say the Eidim were kosher. Happened to be those Eidim kosher. He says... The second reason he says is because he gives her a ring, she gives him a ring. They're just exchanging gifts. There's no massive mission. Asks the Moshe on himself in the same tshuva. But didn't I write in the other tshuva when the Orthodox Rav asked me about a couple who did this? Don't do it. If it happens, it's a massive condition. Says the Moshe, this is where context matters. When you're getting married, even if you're not from, you're getting married with an Orthodox Rav in an Orthodox shul, an Orthodox setting.
Right.
So, yes, you may not be from yourself, but this is the setting you choose. And if you're following according to the guidelines of the Rav and his officiation, etc. So there, even if it happened, it was wrong to happen. If it did happen, then we view this as an anomaly. Yeah. The Maaseh Kiddushin, normal Maaseh Kiddushin, is he gives her full stop. She gave him in this case. In Achlamah, but the Kiddushin happened, it worked, it was wrong for her to give him afterwards, but the setting creates that really the kavanah of the husband was to give her a ring to Maaseh Kiddushin. She then went and did something wrong, gave her ring back to her.
Because the word saying Hadat Mekdesh is very important. The man gives her a ring without saying the word Hadat Mekdesh.
If it's under a chuppah, definitely it works.
They are married.
But in a reform setting, then even though you could say that he gives her a ring, she's Mekodesh, then she gives him a ring, it doesn't matter. No, but the whole setting makes that when he gives her, he's not giving her a ring, condition. Because in all of these weddings, not an anomaly, it always happens that he gives her and she gives him. Therefore, from the beginning, this is not a Maaseh Kiddushin, this is a Maaseh of exchanging of rings, exchanging of gifts to one another. And therefore, there's no Maaseh Kiddushin. Same Maaseh happened, same Chuppah happened. One happened with an Orthodox Rav, one happened with a Reform Minister. One is Mekodesh that needs to get, one is nothing to show. Not even to get B'chum, you don't need anything. Incredible. We're talking about Aisha Tishri, we're talking about getting here, most severe things, and yet, how important it is, the context of Tzemach. Do we see the Chiddush? This is incredible, right? I hope you appreciate what this means. This means exactly the same Maaseh. Same two kinds of Jewish people. Same action happened between him and her, and yet because one took place in a setting, in the context of a place which is Shomer Torah Mitzvahs, the condition was wrong what you did, but the condition works. And you need to get. She's fully married. She's going to betrothed. As opposed to what happened in a setting. Where the Chatchila, it's not a place where they're going to be keeping Torah mitzvahs, and it's done under that auspices, and then the condition doesn't begin, and no get is needed, and this woman could go and live with another man, marry another man, without a get.
He says, hurry up, Mekodesh, in both cases.
Correct.
Why doesn't that do the job?
Because the context matters. Because by saying Hari and Mekodesh to me, and she's saying the same back to him, that shows you that the whole Maaseh is not a religious Maaseh, it's a Maaseh of exchanging gifts. Because it's not, this is no longer, because this happens all the time, this is no longer a Maaseh condition, this is a Maaseh of exchanging of gifts. It happens to be under this beautiful kippah, under this beautiful thing.
His intention is exactly the same as he wants it to be a marriage.
So that's the thing. This is the Chiddush of Moshe. He's saying that no, because this happens all the time in this setting, they're not doing it. He hasn't got kavanah le'inyan kiddushin. He's got kavanah to give gifts. I give her a gift and she gives me a gift. Because Maaseh Kiddushin you don't have every time she gives him a ring.
His kavanah is quite nice.
But the point is, the fact, it's from the onset, we know that she's going to give him back. that shows you that his initial thing wasn't for Kiddushin. Because if it was, it wouldn't have been in that way where he gives her and she gives him. Anyway, as you can see, what's the point of all of this? The point of the first is a huge chiddush in Moshe, which is fascinating. But secondly, to appreciate how important it is to recognize the setting. And that can make all the difference. The context can make all the difference, even when we're not necessarily aware of it.
Shkoyah. Thank you, Shkoyah.
$100,000.
This has to stop. I recorded this, but young.